Postgame coverage of BYU football continues with the Cougar Postgame Coaches Show, brought to you by BYU Creamery, serving sweet memories for 75 years. The Cougar Postgame Coaches Show is also brought to you by Ryan Valuation, formerly Econ Partners, a national leader in business valuation. Learn more at ryanvaluation.com. Let's rejoin the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell.
It is the BYU Creamery Cougar Postgame Coaches Show, brought to you by the BYU Creamery. BYU Creamery ice cream delivered right to your door. Order today at creamery.byu.edu, serving sweet memories for 75 years. BYU head coach Kalani Sitake joining us now on the headset from his locker room area. Kalani, you've coached more than 100 games here. It's tough to, you know, break them all down and try and categorize them, but where does tonight kind of fit right now?
Man, because it's the most recent one, I'm so happy. And just a lot of really cool things that happened from that game. Really happy with the steps that the offense is making. Obviously, taking care of the football is something that I think they can do better. But I felt like we were just doing our thing out there. And we didn't finish some drives, but we turned the ball over, I think, three times. But, man, I like the feel of it. You know what I mean, Hans? You can
Get
that feel. So. And I like the way they're doing it. I think A-Rod's doing a great job calling the plays. We just needed the offense need to step up for us. The defense has always had their back before, and it would be good if we can get them all on the same page. Would be great for me. But we'll take the win any way we can get it. I was just really proud of the overall effort from our guys and just the belief and the love they have for each other. It's awesome.
I thought Roderick's adjustments coming out in the second half, you go that entire drive, don't throw a pass, complete power, LJ Martin's going nuts, you guys run over the top of him, go score, and I think that sent a statement. But you talk about filling it in that mode, Kalani, and I felt it in that mode for this offensive line tonight. I felt like your offensive line deserves extra NIL after this one.
Yeah, I mean, they deserve everything, but we talked about it at halftime that we need to be more physical, and we needed to take the fight to Oklahoma State. They were bringing it to us, so we needed to respond better, and I thought the guys fought. I mean, did we make mistakes? Of course, but I love the intensity and the effort that we had from the players. Like, if you have that type of effort, you can do a lot of really cool things. The mistakes, we'll fix them. We'll fix those mistakes, you can't become the team you want to be unless you have the effort and the buy-in. These guys have all bought in, man. I'm fortunate to be their coach, and I'm really looking forward to getting better and working after this game.
Hey, Kalani, as Oklahoma State was driving for what became their final touchdown, you kind of had that delicate dance with your timeouts. You know, how much time do you want to leave yourself? How much time do you want Oklahoma State to not have available? Because they were running low on timeouts or out of timeouts, and you played it perfectly, it felt like. What was the headset like at that point, determining how you wanted to run those last couple minutes?
Well, I was going to do whatever I can to give us some time. I to me, it's important, and I just knew that if the offense got the ball with enough time, we can march down the field. I wish we would have got the stops on third downs and forced them to kick a field goal. That would have been nice, especially the third and long, man. It was like, come on, you know. But you have to give them credit. They made some plays, and they kind of knew what we were dialing up. So we obviously have to be better at what we do defensively and make sure that we're playing a little bit more Simon Sound, but also maybe in some ways not be so predictable. You know, and I think we – I said this in the press conference before, in the post game, that it felt like some of the guys, and this is I have to watch the film. It just seems like guys are doing a lot of trying to make the big play themselves rather than just playing their responsibility. That's my initial impression that I had from it. We had way too many missed tackles and guys that were really out of position.
Yep.
And that's our fault. I mean, I got to do a better job coaching them, and we got to get our guys. And I think maybe getting in the whole energy and the excitement of being the guy that makes the turnover and gets the interceptions, that was kind of like the big draw, especially the last few weeks of defense making plays and getting setups for plays. And really, you do it by just everyone going back to the basics and doing their job. And we lost our discipline as a defense, and even our fundamentals, tackling wasn't good enough. And so, but I'm glad that we got the win. I'm glad that we could have won the game on defense. We could have found ways to get out of the drives and create more havoc. But But it was nice that the offense was able to get that response. We just got to get better in all three phases. But I like the energy. I like the effort, and we can work with this.
So I'm going to let Greg set up that final play. But before that final play, there's a fourth down conversion I want you to talk about. Chase Roberts catching that ball, getting just past the marker, Jake Retzlaff extending the pocket, and getting that first down in that moment. Walk me through that fourth down conversion, Kalani.
Well, we've worked these situations so many times in practice, and you know, we're having our offense go against our defense, and our defense does a great job at covering. And so we put them in really tough spots, and Jake was able to make the play. And I mean, I think, you know, we kind of knew that Chase was going to be the guy that he felt comfortable going to, but they had some tight coverage. It was a tight window, and, man, I'm just glad that we were able to get that. That was the big play to me. That fourth down was what we needed, the conversion. It just seems like we weren't catching in the rhythm. Once that happened, it was like, all right, here we go. And, you know, that big run by Jake was huge. And then us being able to spike the ball and not waste so much time. Honestly, when Darius caught that ball, I was trying to think if we should spike it or take the timeout, assuming that he's going to get tackled, and he just made the play, so it made me worry for nothing.
Yeah, by the way, BYU was 2 for 2 on fourth downs tonight, so the outstanding fourth down number just continues to get better as the season goes along. The fourth and 7 to Chase gives you a first and 10, little pass to Keanu for 2, so you're 2nd and 8, timeout. And then it's the Retzlaff run for 27, the spike. So with 19 seconds to go, you're at the OSU 35. You need a touchdown to win the game, and this is the play. 2nd and 10, poke 35. 19 seconds on the clock, 35-31. Jake in the pocket, throws in a window, 15-10! 5! Lassiter getting it in! Touchdown! 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 So that's what we did up here, Kalani.
Hey,
so
I'm surprised you still have your voice after that, Greg. That was awesome.
Finally tuned instrument, Kalani, I'll tell you. We had so much fun with that.
I mean, you can hear the roar of the crowd and the energy, excitement, and I think everybody was feeling that. And man, what a big play by Darius, by the way. And, you know, I was, like I said, the team, it's crazy. During the game, even that last drive, there's so much belief and positive talk from the sideline, and I'm so proud of them, man. And even though things didn't go perfectly for us overall in all three phases, we made the kicks when we needed to make them. We made the plays when we needed to make them, and we found a way to get the win. But I love how loose the players are playing. I mean, you look at the situation too. We're having to play against a team on a short week for us. We played last week. They have a bye. We knew this was going to be stacked against us, and that we would have to be a lot. I mean, we'd have the sense of urgency to on a quick turnaround. We'd have to find a way to make it work. I love that we were at home, and the energy from the crowd was awesome. But the man, it was so good for our guys to dig deep and find a way. Now we got an extra day to rest and get ready for this next one. But I love the response from the team and the belief and the positivity. And man, we're having fun though too. I just like how loose the guys are playing. Now, can we play more disciplined and execute better? Of course, but I just like the overall feel. You know what I mean, Hans? You can kind of get that feel for the team, and I just like it. So we just got to keep building on that and find ways to fine-tune everything.
Well, this was one of my keys to the game, and I've never actually done this key, but it really hit me this morning when I was putting my final keys to the game together. My number 3 was, I never give this out as a key, but as wins compound, so does the pressure. So remember, you got to have fun in these moments. Don't let the success change the spirit of this team. And, you know, now you move to 7-0, Kalani, and nobody that I know is better at helping a team have fun than you in moments where it could be all pressure and all work. I think you're the man. You're the key to keeping it fun. You always have been, Kalani.
Well, I appreciate it. I think it's the overall – and the overall team, the leadership on our team, and I mean, I try to have a good time. You know, we play together, so we regardless of whether you come out with a win or not, during the game, you got to find a way to live in the moment. And you're right. I think that was probably a good key for you to mention, because defensively they felt the pressure of having to provide and make short fields and get turnovers and find ways to score different ways. And maybe the special teams felt that way. And the offense has kind of been coming along. And now we had there's some really cool things from the offense, what they did tonight. The turnovers were the keys that we have to fix. But, you know, we're better. We're 5-10 on third downs. Obviously, we can get better than that, and that's winning first and second down. But I like the way that they performed tonight other than the turnovers. And I think the turnovers, man, if we didn't have those, we could be in a better spot. The opening drive was awesome. I mean, I like the way that the team plays. It's just we just got to keep building on the momentum and finding ways to let them the pressure, relieve the pressure and the anxiety, the stress. It's a tough thing to play football nowadays and with all the expectations on it. But whatever we can do to find a way to just let loose and have fun is going to be the key for us being able to play it at a high level.
First 50% third down day for you today, by the way. Closing comments with Coach Kalani. You're coming up. This is the BYU Creamery Cougar Postgame Coaches Show. 38-35 Cougs over the Pokes. BYU's eighth Sitake era victory by 3 points. Exactly three. We'll come back with more from the coach after this on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to the Cougar Postgame Coaches Show on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Now, back to Hans Olsen and the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell.
Jake Retzloff to Darius Lassiter, 35-yard touchdown pass with 10 seconds remaining. The game-winning score, BYU 38, Oklahoma State 35 is our final score. Joseph Hovey from the BYU Athletic Communications Department told me via text that he's the first guy to have three separate games, Jake is, first guy to have three separate games with two touchdown passes and a touchdown run in his first 11 starts since Brandon Doman back in 2001. Jake truly is a dual threat. And, yeah, there are a couple plays that he'll say, yeah, I could have those back, but he keeps making plays for you at the most important time. I know you're proud of the development of Jake Retzloff, and he's one of the main reasons you're 7-0.
Yeah, and just I mean, we got to be thankful that we got the victory and that there's some good learning moments from him. That you know, even though we were down 3-2 in the turnover margin, that we found a way to get the win, especially the last drive that they had on offense. But it's like we're still making some progress. I understand some of the throws that he made and why they ended up being the turnovers, but these are going to be great learning moments. I'd be devastated right now if we weren't able to get the victory, you know what I mean? But this is good to build off of this, and he's doing some really good things, and the little fine tuning I'm talking about is not very hard for us to get this stuff done. We can get that done in the next week before we play UCF.
I've given Braden Keim a lot of love today. He had a couple of key blocks, one on the touchdown by LJ Martin in the north end zone. Was a fantastic just one-on-one block. But, Kalani, I want you to explain to me how Caleb Etienne is doing what Caleb Etienne is doing right now.
Yeah, I love the way that the two tackles are playing, and they're being really physical. The run game is the key for those guys, and we're asking them to pull and get on the outside in space, and they're just finding ways to get it done, but they're being super physical. And that's what they want. They want to keep – I mean, you ask those guys, they want to just keep, like, feeding the run. That's what they kind of – They get excited about that whole, you know, just being able to run forward and just pound it on people and just kind of enforce your will on them. And we had those moments. It's really faith building for them. And these guys work hard in the weight room, yeah. They want to be able to push on people and not always have to, you know, kick step every time. But so I think they like that, and it's nice to have guys like LJ Martin that can run the rock and even Hinkley Ropati making plays, and definitely our quarterback that can find ways to use his legs too.
255 rushing yards for BYU. That is a season high. 473 total offense yards. That's a season high. And your point totals are winning numbers, right? If you score high 30s, you're going to win most football games, and there you are at 38 tonight.
Yeah, and that's the key. I mean, if you look at the numbers, they're pretty balanced. And the key was the field goal we made, the field goal they missed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's That's what it comes down to. And obviously, they're probably talking about their turnovers that they wish they didn't do. I mean, that's the game. You have to find ways to make big plays and take care of the football. And that's the goal for us, is to get that fixed by the time we get to next week. And I mean, when you say that, they have a defense that can find ways to make plays too. So when you have these type of games that are really tight, it's really nice to have a kicker that can nail a field goal. And it was nice to be at home and let that home field advantage help us out.
Well, Central Florida has found themselves on a three-game slide, and they've lost K.J. Jefferson for a period of time. Ja'Cory Brown has been in there, and he's trying to catch his stride, but R.J. Harvey is still one of the best running backs in the Big 12. Take us through some preparations, some expectations, as Greg and I will get on a plane and head to Orlando on Friday.
Well, Gus Malzahn knows how to watch film. This is going to be a good film for him to watch, and he's going to be excited about some of the mistakes that we made. So we can't do the same things that we did this tonight, next week defensively. So when you put it all together, we've got to find a way to be more assignment sound and better against the run, because that's what UCF's going to do. They're going to find ways, and even the QB run. So we got exposed a little bit tonight. I'm glad we got the win, and now we get back to work. I know Jay and the rest of the defense staff is going to get really on top of that. And but man, it's good to win and to feel excited about the win and know that you can definitely play better. And so I love the toughness and the physical part of our guys. Let's play smarter. Let's play smarter football in all three phases and see what we can get accomplished next week against UCF.
How do you feel like you came out of it health-wise, generally speaking?
Yeah, I think some of the guys got banged up. I mean, it's like little things that I think they're going to be all right. The wind helps, but they'll get treatment. And then the extra day of rest is going to be big for us. So we've kind of worked our schedule where we knew this was going to happen. The quick turnaround was really hard for our guys. That's hard on any team, but especially going against a team that's coming fresh, you know. So now we get back in the week-to-week where guys are playing. I mean, UCF, I think they play tomorrow. Who do they play? I don't know. Who they?
UCF?
They've got Iowa State.
Oh, yeah, so they play Iowa State.
Yeah,
so that's gonna
a tough game
a good
for
film
them.
To watch, you know. And
that'll be in Ames.
Yeah, yep. So really good. We'll be able to see all that, and then we'll be able to rest an extra day, which will be good for us when we travel east to go to Florida.
Last couple things for me, Kalani, and then I'll let Hans have the final word. Tough to come back on Mike Gundy. Coming into tonight, he was 125-15. That's an 89% win rate when leading at halftime, and you had to come back from down at halftime, and they got the ball to start the second half. So a really nice comeback for BYU that way. And then tonight's crowd, almost 63,000, and a pretty high bar has been set for the fan experience here at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, but it got raised tonight. I hadn't seen a drone show up close like that before, and you're focusing on things, but the sky was alive with the drone lights tonight.
It was
unbelievable.
I saw it. I was like, okay, man, that's pretty cool. it just keeps getting better and better, and the fans keep getting louder and louder, and I'm glad that we're delivering some wins and entertaining them. We don't need to keep it close all the time now. You know what I mean? Like, let's find ways to play at our best and put some games away. But this is a tough conference, man. Nothing is easy. But we can definitely make it easier on ourselves by playing a little bit more discipline. And I got to find a way to get these guys to play discipline in all three phases. Taking care of the football and offense. We made a big step forward, but taking care of the football better. And then in defense, playing assignment sound and stopping the run. We've got to find a way to do that on first and second down to create some third and longs.
Kalani, final thing for me, you know, starting a season 7-0 is just miraculous. It's so rare. And it takes an insane chemistry with the team. And I'm just curious, what is the mystique with this team? What is it? Are they extremely close? Are they extremely mature? Is Jake Retzlaff that great a leader? Like, what is the chemistry that has got this team to a 7-0 start?
These guys love each other, man, and they've been through some adversity last year, and some people have doubted them, and that draws them closer together. They only have each other, But I keep reminding them that they have fans that, that believe in them. I think everyone wants to focus on the negative part. We have way more fans that support and love these young men than the ones that, that doubt them. You know what I mean? So trying to find ways that I talked about being positive, having fun, things like that. We've got to create a narrative for so these guys can just kind of play free and have a good time doing it. They've worked extremely hard to get to this point. And so that's what we're trying to do. But there's a fine line between that and being undisciplined at the same time. So we're kind of going through that right now. But I like that we're 7-0 and we get to make some changes and make some improvement, man. This is a good group, great leadership. I would say the senior leadership is important. When you have transfer portal, guys moving in and out, it's good to have guys. Because, you know, you felt that, Hans, when we were there. We were seniors, and it just means no one cares more than the seniors because it's their last go, you know. And I'd say the stuff that we did our senior year set up that 2001 season to have a lot of success, and you know. So, but the seniors kind of drive the team, and I love that our seniors. Connor Pay's on his scooter; he's riding out in the middle of the field talking to the guys, you know. So we have seniors all over the place that are all bought in and. It's really cool when the team just takes over and the coaches don't have to say everything.
Man, I love Connor Pay, and it's got to be hard for him to not be on the field. But you know, Kalani, you take us back to our senior year, and we lose that opener to Florida State in Jacksonville, and we lose one of our best linebackers. And I just remember looking at you and thinking, doggone it, man, because that we'd set it up, man. We wanted that national championship for Lavelle to send him off. And it was a heartbreaker, but, man, we salvaged it the back end with Lavelle's last miracle and had some great moments on the way out.
And we stuck to the culture that works, and the next year's team was able to build off of that. So everything takes time. It takes roots, and it has to happen naturally and organically. You can't force feed it, especially with the transfer portal and all that. And so we have to keep building on what our guys are doing. These guys serve in the community. They love being a part of being a be a part of BYU football, but they love what they do. I mean, you know, they love exercising their faith, no matter what the religion is, and being closer to each other and closer to God. So this is a unique place. I wish I could take credit for the culture, but the culture is actually what Lavelle did for us, Hans. It was awesome. It works, man. And when you talk to these old-time coaches, you look at the coaches that are out there doing it, you can see a lot of Lavelle's influence in Andy Reid. He's back-to-back champion in Super Bowl. And then you see what he's doing with Sark. Sark's doing a lot of his stuff, a lot of similarities. And even with Kyle's doing up in Utah. And, you know, there's a lot of disciples that are doing the stuff that Lavelle did. And I'm definitely going to follow what he did for me and you. And that's it works, man. We just got to keep sticking to it.
It works.
We're going to let you leave with a quick thought on our Ryan Valuation valuable stat of the game, and then we'll say goodbye. It's brought to you by Ryan Valuation. Whether for tax, financial reporting, or strategic purposes, when your business needs a valuation, use Ryan Valuation, formerly Econ Partners. Learn more at ryanvaluation.com. And our valuable stat tonight for you, Kalani, is BYU averaged 7.1 yards per rush, a high number on the season, a good number, a big number for BYU on the ground tonight.
Big time, big step forward. It's really nice to get our O-line being physical again and having that presence and then having the quarterback be a threat to complement it. But it's nice that LJ and Hinkley were able to get their stuff going. They're starting to really feel the rhythm of the offense. You know, we feel like we can do a lot of different things with the weapons that we have in the passing game and in the run game, but we definitely need to have a balance. And it's nice when you can get that many yards per rush, but a huge credit goes to all those guys and how hard they work, but not enough credit is given to the O-line. The O-line has done an amazing job, man. Bruce Mitchell, again, at center. Those guys have been really aggressive, and Austin Leusa at guard, and Waylon Lapuaho, you know, Caleb Etienne and Brady Time has done an amazing job. And you look at the receivers that are blocking downfield, they take a lot of pride in that, and you look at the tight ends that are blocking, it's all going really nicely right now. Let's just keep building on it and keep that momentum going.
By the way, BYU, Kalani's teams are now 33-3 when they score in every quarter. And BYU scored in all four quarters tonight, and that got the job done. Kalani, thank you again. Congratulations. I hope you enjoy the day with the family tomorrow, watching some football in front of the TV. And as you get thinking about next week, hope you enjoy tonight. And thank you for giving us all such a memorable and special experience.
You guys are awesome. Greg, appreciate you, what you do for BYU Athletics. I know that we gave you a huge shout-out earlier, but and it's not the same without you. You make it work, and you're the glue that brings all the excitement and energy to this place. So love you. Love you guys, and looking forward. I love what you do, Hans, Mitch, what you guys do with the group. This is awesome, and I'm really honored to be doing this with you guys. Thank you.
Hey, love you back. Thank you, Kalani.
Don't forget your swim trunks. You and I are hitting South Beach on our way to Orlando, brother. It's just a 4 hours, a simple 4 hour little drive south.
I don't know if I trust you in the water. I love you, but you know, you get a little too rowdy. You're the kid that runs in the pool, wait, and the lifeguard always has to remind us to start walking, and all you do is just brisk walk that you're going to slip and fall. So yeah, you're an accident waiting to happen for me. Maybe not now, but maybe in the cruise back in April we can get that done.
You've got me nailed. They called me Whistle back in the day because I was always getting the whistle at the community pool.
That doesn't surprise me.
Thanks, Kalani.
Love you guys. Go Cougs. To all the fans, thank you. Go Cougs.
All right, that's Kalani Sitake.